Coming up on Dig It, I had a standoff. I don't know how you are with Nell, but Coco and I had a fallout in the week.
Oh.
And I left a note just saying, please don't kill me, but could you tidy your room?
And what happened, Jo? Who does she bring out?
She brings out Madonna. And to see the pair of them together, strong, talented, beautiful women on that stage, made me weep. On the subject of newborn things,
is it time
I have someone new to bring to the Dig It family?
I might cry now.
Is this the big reveal?
Oh my goodness me.
All of that right after this.
Dig It is sponsored by Starling, the bank that helps you organise your money, build great habits and stay in control of your spending. We talk a lot on this show about how a great garden starts with a bit of a plan and the right environment. Well, money is the same. It's not just about what you have. It's about being intentional with it. How we choose to spend, save and plan. That's what really shapes the way we live.
That is so true. Being good with money isn't about being perfect. It's about building a relationship with your finances that actually works for you and your life. And that's what Starling is all about. They believe that with the right tools, anyone can grow those healthy habits.
One habit I found so helpful is separating your spending. It's that peace of mind of knowing exactly what's for the bills, what's for the fun stuff, and what's actually left over.
And that's a tool that Starling offers in their app. They call it Spaces. It's basically a pot of money sitting within your Starling current account, kept separate from your main balance, so you're never dipping into the wrong pot by accident.
I desperately need one for the garden. Anyone who knows me knows my plant budget can get, well, a little out of hand.
Exactly. And you can even create free virtual debit cards linked to each space, so you can only ever spend what you've planned to, making life that little bit easier.
Search Starling to find out more. Good with money starts here.
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
Huge warm welcome to another episode of Dig It. Hi, Zoe Ball. How are you? How have your last 7 days been? What have you been up to? Tell us all.
Hello, Jo Wiley, and hello to all diggers, especially Lucy, who I met in the garden centre. I love it now. Wherever I go, people are like, I'm a digger.
Yeah.
And often they're, if they're with their families look like, what are these two women talking about? But anyway, it's so lovely to meet our diggers out and about. My heart is full, Jo. I have had such a lovely week. I had my friend Sammy, who lives up in Scotland and I don't get to see her very often. She came and stayed with me for a few days. So instead of having to do that whole download immediately, we got a few days of just pottering around each other and properly catching up. We had my mate Ian's 60th surprise party, which we had all managed as a bunch of big gobs. We totally managed to keep it a surprise to the point where when he arrived at the pub and we'd all had to get there early and everyone was like, like, you know, everybody was there. It was amazing. Everybody made it on time on a Friday night quite early. And as he came around the corner, he was so moved and emotional. And then at one point he was clutching his heart and we were all slightly concerned that we might have given our friend such a surprise that he was having a heart moment, but he was absolutely fine. And a big up to the whole crew and Beth, his wife, who is, she's such a superstar. She'd arranged like a mariachi band and everyone was dressed up and there were sombreros and there were moustaches and she was in a cake that was being dragged by some of the flamenco dancers and she was going to burst out, but she got a little bit stuck in it. So it took a while to bob out the top, but she did and it was amazing. And his daughter, Betty, sang And some of our friends DJed. It was such a joyous event. And then I had a house full this weekend with Woody and all his mates came to stay. And were here for the whole weekend. And I love, you know, some of them I've known since they were probably about 7 years old. And they're all out in the world being brilliant adults. And this weekend they were celebrating Elias's birthday. So they were being very messy adults. And it was a joy to have them. So my heart is full, Jo.
That's lovely. Oh, I'm so pleased.
Because I spend a lot of time on my own. Recently, I've had so many people around. So it's been lovely. And I did 2 days of hard gardening too. So I'm well happy.
Now the sun's been out, hasn't it, for a little bit? And it's been kind of not quite so Baltic. Oh. So it's been okay to be outside.
Yes.
I've actually felt warm at one point over the past 7 days. It's been so nice. Yeah.
But I mean, that was my week, but you have had quite the time
of
it, young lady, and I'm quite excited to hear more about it all.
There's just been, well, since I last spoke to you, we've had two birthdays. So we celebrated India's birthday, and she came round to the house and we just did an old school, lovely birthday party for her. And it was really, really nice. And cozy.
Yes.
And then my dad, it was his birthday. So they came over at the weekend with my sister and my mum. And that was really nice. He was 86.
86?
Yeah, I know.
Happy birthday to Mr. Wiley. I call him
Martin.
Mr. Wiley.
Can no, I, Martin.
Martin.
Yeah.
Can I call him Martin now? It's
yes,
happy
you can.
Birthday, Martin. 86 years young. Yeah, so our dads are similar ages.
Yeah.
So my dad's going to be, is he going to be 87 or 88 in a little bit? Okay. And happy birthday to India. It still freaks me out how grown up she is now, because it feels like only yesterday that she was the little girl in the office.
Crawling over desks, having meetings. No, she's doing great. She's doing really good.
Great.
So yeah, it's been very, very busy on that front. We had a big party at the weekend. So we always have an April party because it's Cass's birthday in a few days' time as well. So we had this glut of birthdays. So it was a science fiction party, which was amazing. It was so fun. Like, I can highly recommend it as a theme, except... What was happening? So we had the party and everyone did various different outfits. Jude was an alien. Cass
Need
was
to see the outfits.
Yeah, Cass
definitely.
Was Yoda. But then it felt like every one of my friends or every woman that was in there decided they went onto the big shopping site and everybody ordered an astronaut costume. So person after person, astronaut after an astronaut kept walking in through the door. We were just falling around laughing in the end. So I had a turquoise astronaut outfit.
Look at that. I mean, it's shiny and jazzy. It's so
great
cool.
Outfit, not expensive, really cheap, turned up within a matter of minutes, and was warm if you were outside and insulated. It was great. It was really good. But there must have been about 20 astronauts at the party. We all had the same outfit on. It was very, very funny.
Well, Artemis too, as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, the inspiration of real astronauts. I can see why you will want to be astronauts.
Yeah. There is a photograph which people can see if they're watching. Disco Steve excelled himself. He went for the inflatable costume, which is the massive alien, and it's got its arms clutching you. So Steve looks like a little mini Disco Steve, and then this massive alien has capturing him. So he just kept running backwards all the time.
So
and it looked like the alien was just dragging him out.
Please tell me that alien was Dayglow late at night.
Absolutely.
In the Ministry of Sound
it was.
As well, because it's such an amazing green.
Yeah.
And his legs. Oh, it's genius. That is, I may have to borrow that off you. That's brilliant.
And then Coco was David Bowie. So Starman, she was, and she looked, obviously as a 17-year-old, she just looked phenomenal. Like, makeup was amazing.
Coco absolutely rocked it. I'm assuming in this photograph, Jude is in the alien head because he's the one missing.
Yeah. No, Jude is, if anyone old enough remembers Frank Sidebottom, Jude looked like an alien Frank Sidebottom. So he'd got a papier-mâché head, which he'd had before as something. I can't remember what it was. So he repainted it and he had an alien head and he put on this morph suit and everyone was just like, Jude, you cannot go out because we can see everything. So we made him put clothes on.
Was it obscene?
It was obscene. But yeah, he was repurposing his papier-mâché head and he was very happy with himself. So we got to Minuscule of Sound. It got to 5:15 in the morning and I was lying in bed just going, what do I do? Do I do that thing? Am I the mum who goes down and shouts at everybody? I think I am going to be that mum. And when I heard the birds tweeting outside, I was like, oh, fuck it. I've got to go and do this. So I went down and I shouted at everybody as I do. And I turned on the lights and they were all like, oh, my my God. But you can see you can see the smoke and the dry ice if you're watching this and what it's like. It's a tiny garden shed. Yeah, but it's a disco, it's a rave.
It looks quite alien-like, to be honest with you. It looks like a scene out of a film where you discover the aliens have landed, because you look at the shed and then the steam is all coming out and the smoke and the flashing lights. It's brilliant.
I know.
It looks like some kind of spacecraft.
Yeah. Well, you go in there and you cannot see anybody because it's just loads of dry ice and everyone's dancing along and singing. But there's all these like bobbly alien heads and astronauts in there. It was really fun. But oh my God, I think it was the longest party. It didn't. Jude went to bed at like 10 the next morning, I think, as he would.
Come
as
on,
he does.
Jude.
Yes.
Oh, come on. That was us back in the day. That was us back in the day. I just couldn't do it now.
Yeah. When you shout at your kids and you tell them to be quiet, you just want to go, please be quiet. But I have done this and I have raved like you, by the way. I'm just older and I need my sleep now.
Oh, good on them.
If you're loving Dig It so far, hit follow or subscribe. And that way you'll get brand new episodes as soon as they drop. I had a standoff. I don't know how you are with Nell, but Coco and I had a fallout in the week because we've got the party coming up. We've got the puppy coming in and her room, she loves clothes. She's a big fan of vintage and she's amazing when it comes to style. So she's got a lot of clothes in her room. And I just left this note in the morning because I've asked her quite a lot of times to clean her room. And I left a note just saying, please don't kill me, but could you tidy your room? And then when I was at work, I got a message from her going, don't leave me notes like that. I will do it when I want to. And we both fell out and we never fall out. And she cried and I cried and it was really ridiculous. And then it resulting in me coming home at night and she had blitzed her room and it was immaculate. She'd put everything away and I was so happy with her and really grateful. But you know, you had that kind of real fallout, mother and daughter, or maybe whatever family fallout.
Well, it does happen though.
Yeah. And it's really distressing.
You don't want to. And, none of us love a passive aggressive note. But the thing is, it does sound like you had put, please don't kill me, but could you just do this?
Zoe, are you calling me passive aggressive? Hang on. When you write those notes, you're like, I need to impart this information. How the hell do I do it? I don't want to. What is this passive aggressive thing? I hate that phrase so much because it's like, I've asked it. No, it's fine. I've asked this so many times in a nice way. I don't know what else to do apart from writing it down, putting some love hearts and saying, please don't kill me. I genuinely don't know what to do.
But it got done and she's and done it. Unfortunately, you both fell out for a little bit. But
yeah,
sometimes with teenage girls, that's the way it's got to be. It's almost like you have to get to the breaking point and then it's okay again.
Yes.
And also, I don't know, Coco might be a bit like Nell, which is, and I love my daughter so, so much. She's amazing, but she is, you can't tell her something might be a different way to other than how she sees it. And she will always come round and she's really smart, but she always knows exactly how things are. And no, that's how it is. That is the rule. That's how I've read about it, Mum. No, that's how it is. And you're like, no, I'm old. I've lived a life. I can tell you it's not really like that. No, that's it. That's how it is. So we will, and she will not back down. And the great thing about that is she's sassy as hell. And I know she's going to be okay out there in the big wide world because she's strong willed and she's tough. And it comes out in so many brilliant ways in her. But oh, Lordy, there is no telling her. Yeah. I think her brother was the same when he was young. And he's sort of like, oh, God. Because sometimes you do have to sort of bite down. You're like, okay, fine. I'm just going to go over here. Because they are so strong. And I think that's probably why we clash, because we're probably similar. And you probably got that with Coco.
Yeah.
And then so you, as a mum, you have to work out different ways of approaching things, don't you? It's like, I'll try it like this. Maybe I'll do it like that. And sometimes it just has to go.
Yeah. I don't know whether it's their generation, because Coco is exactly like you say with Nell. She's very spirited. She absolutely knows her own mind, but she's very kind as well and very aware of other people. But again, there is no telling. And you agonize about how to phrase things. And in the end, I was like going over this in my head while I'm doing my radio show, I was like, mate, it is her room. She can live in it how she likes. It's absolutely fine. Who am I to say that she needs to tidy her room? Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the one that's at fault. And I think I did add that on the note as well, or in a text. So it's a really hard thing to get your head around, whether you're imposing your will upon them and you should just let them be and let them do what they want to do and live how they want to live, or whether it's okay to say, I really love my house being tidy. Could you maybe put your things away? I don't know what the answer is.
Also, because I do think it does help. I mean, I am, you know, I always wang on about having ADHD, and it's taken me, it's actually my kids having it and getting them diagnosed and getting them some meds so that they could get through their, well, Nell, she could get through her schoolwork and her exams. It's really helped her to focus. But it's been learning about their situation and how they cope with things and deal with things that I've learned about my own. And, you know, the carnage and the mess. But actually what I really need is, like, I could be like a whirlwind, but what I do need is a bit of order. And sometimes things can get really messy, and then you get to the point of, I've got to sort this out. And when you've got ADHD, you're so easily distracted. I think I've actually got a cushion over there that I've bought for myself, which, and for the kids, which is easily distracted. So you'll start a task and then you'll move on to something else. Then you'll find yourself out here and then you're like, oh, I've done this and now I'm over here. So I can see sometimes why Nell might live in chaos and her clothes are everywhere. But she started doing a thing now where every Sunday night, if she stays with me, she will give herself a couple of hours, tidy her room, get her stuff ready for school, put her things away, have a nice shower, do her hair. And I've loved seeing her find this for herself, because I'm like, yes, you kind of realize in the chaos, you appreciate how much a bit of order really helps. And that's what I've tried to do in my life. The lodger kind of brought that into our house, because there's three ADHDers and three quite gregarious people. And then there's the lodger, who's quite ordered and quite sort of, you know, he does everything in, you know, and he's very regimented, and that's the way he survives and he gets through his stuff. And he's brought a bit of calm and order into this house of chaos.
Yeah.
Which I never realized would be so appreciated. I'm like, thank you. Thank you for bringing calm and order into a house of chaos, because it makes such a difference. I've gone off on a total side tangent.
But it's really interesting. No, it's really interesting, because you need all that, you know, when you're living together, if you're lucky enough to have other people in the home with you, everyone has their roles and you support each other. Because the reason that Coco did a room in the end is because Cass stepped in. And Cass is, I always say, you know, he could work for the UN. He could be this amazing mediator. He's very calm. He, again, is very ordered and very disciplined. And he just has such a brilliant, beautiful, kind, soft way of making sense of everything for everybody within the family. So when there's anything kicking off, it's always like we reach for the secret weapon, which is Cass. And he walked into Coco's room and she sat there just going, I just can't, I'm overwhelmed. I cannot make sense of the room. I don't know how to tidy up. I cannot do this. And she would never let me help. I've offered so many times, but he was like, all right, you turn off the TV, and he just guided her through it. And that they didn't do it together. She did it, but he gave her the way of doing it. He told her, he gave her the tools to do it. And so he's the same kind of person as the lodger, like you were saying. He's just the person who can see a disciplined way of making sense of everything and getting stuff done. Jude has ADHD, and he's like, you know, his room is not the tidiest either. And I can see the way he struggles with stuff, because after the party, Sunday night, we always, quite often all the kids and me say the day after a party is the nicest day. It's like you tidy up, you potter around, you watch film, we all have a takeaway, and it's just cozy and lovely and delicious and everyone's hungover. But Jude goes into a meltdown. So he was lying there on Sunday night in such a mess, just going, I hate it. I hate it when parties are over. I hate it when things end. I can't cope. And he was really grumpy. And he's like that after his birthday. He's like that after Christmas. He cannot cope with the ending of things. Because he's always chasing the high, he's always chasing the excitement and the adrenaline. And, you know, he really plummets. He really struggles when things are normal. He doesn't like it at all. And that's because his brain is just bouncing all the time. And he really struggles with just having some calm.
I really hear him, because that was always me. I would never let anyone leave the party.
Yeah.
I mean, this is probably why I partied probably for 10 years too long and paid the price for it. But I just hated the party being over and I hated everybody leaving. And then I would see it in Woody. Woody would cry, you know, really cry when people left to go home, even when he was little. And then as he grew older, obviously really similar characters to your Jude. And obviously now I really appreciate when everyone's there, but I also appreciate when they go home, and I like the calm and the quiet. And Woody sort of started to appreciate time on his own and time to calm down. And it's the balance of it both. But yeah, it can be really tough. And you feel, I think if you have ADHD,
you feel
things so you know, you take things so personally and so to heart. And those extremes of emotions can be quite hard to handle sometimes, because you're like, oh, I really have, and everything's brilliant. And then everyone's gone, and I'm really, and you really do go up and then go down. And it's something really wonderful when you start to understand that, of like, oh, that's why I'm like that. Mm. So Jude he's one of us.
Yeah, no, he is. When I mean, all the rest of the family laugh, because when they go to Glastonbury, he's aww, just the one that's like finding the tent that's still functioning, that, you know, has got the party going on until the very last second. And he'll walk into a tent and then he'll be done with it within 5 seconds and wants to go to another tent. And it's just chasing the high all the time. Yeah. It's really hard to know how to deal with the low, how to cushion him and nurture him and help him deal, yeah, with the reality of life is okay as well, and there's small pleasures in little things.
Oh, so was everyone able to sort of hug him last night and kind of be come on?
God, no. He was way too grumpy. No,
probably needed some sleep.
He hadn't slept at all. So he definitely...
Which you don't want to hear, do you? Like, oh, go away. I know I need sleep. Go away, everyone.
I see this with my sister as well, the constantly craving something to look forward to, and it's very hard to handle. So her birthday is the 5th of May, so that's coming up. And she gets so... she's so over the top. Her adrenaline is just pumping for about a month beforehand, and she's just so agitated about it. It's like the same with Christmas as well. And oh my God, it's really, really hard to manage that at the moment. She's manic, absolutely manic about what am I doing on my birthday? Where are we going? What's happening? She lost a friend this week. Someone passed away. And when it happened, it's difficult with people with learning disabilities or difficulties knowing what they feel, because she can't particularly express things in the way that we do. So this thing happened, and then she came straight away to my house because it was hard to know where to go and what to do with her. And it was when it was India's birthday, so I was expecting all of them to come over and have the birthday party. And then Francis came, and I was like, oh my God, I don't know quite how to handle this. Like, there's just so much happening at this second in time. And what happened was, India and the rest of the family went in another room, and Francis stayed in the kitchen with me while I was cooking and getting the food ready. And she was obviously distraught, and I went over to her to give her a cuddle. And because she's quite autistic as well, I went, shall I give you a cuddle? And she was like, nope. So she didn't want me to touch her. So I was like, fine, I'll leave you. I started cooking, and she got her iPad, and she just started playing songs on her iPad. And as I suddenly realized that she was playing all these songs, and it was like a funeral. She was playing all these songs for this person that she'd lost. And she was talking to herself, and she was going, where's he gone? And I was like, he's gone to Jesus. Is he coming back? No, he won't be coming back. And she never looked, there was no eye contact at any point. She's just processing it, just talking. And then she'd play another song. Sad, but this is sad, isn't it? And I'd be like, yeah, it's really, really sad. And then the playlist was killing me. She was playing, played Robbie Williams' Angels. So she starts singing along to Angels. Yes. And I'm going, oh,
perfect
my
song.
God, I can't believe she's singing this. Then we move on to You'll Never Walk Alone. And she's got her arms in the air, and she's going, this is for you. And she's singing the songs. And I was like, okay, trying to chop onions, tears falling. Oh, and then she played Live Forever, Oasis. She played All I Need Is the Air That
Songs,
I Breathe,
Francis.
The Hollies. But, you know, this was her. She did this completely on her own. She couldn't communicate her words, how she felt, what was going on. But she sat, and she had a little funeral service with the music. And this was all of her own making. Steve kept walking into the room, and he had to keep leaving. He was like, oh my God, I can't believe she's playing this song. It was beautiful. It was really beautiful to see the way she dealt with the instant grief that she was processing at that time. Just music. And the power of music was so evident in that moment. It was amazing, amazing. We're going to take a quick break for some ads.
But if you're keen to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, you can subscribe to The Potting Shed.
Become a member of The Potting Shed and you'll receive bonus bits. You get longer episodes and yearly subscriptions. Get a free Digit tote bag, very cool, and Fothergill's Sow and Tell Seeds.
Just click the link to subscribe in the show notes. Right, time for a break. Can I just mention Coachella was pretty amazing. Obviously, it happens out in Palm Springs in America, but the socials and the news this weekend were full of Sabrina Carpenter, whose show I've only watched in clips. Oh my goodness me, she puts on a good show.
Yeah.
Does that girl. And who does she bring out on stage? There had been rumours that this was going to happen and that someone's name had been seen around the planning of Coachella. And what happened, Joe? Who does she bring out?
She brings out Madonna, the woman who paved the way for the Sabrinas, for all these solo artists at the moment, these women who are owning it and being amazing. And she brought out Madonna, and together they owned that stage. So it wasn't a matter of, because I read a couple of people going, oh, it was great, Madonna was passing on the baton. No, she wasn't. She was the woman who paved the way, and she was sharing that stage, and together they were magnificent. And it was, I felt really emotional when I saw that clip, and she was doing, they were doing Like a Prayer. And that's quite a moving song. Quite a profound song. And to see the pair of them together, strong, talented, beautiful women on that stage, made me weep. I'll be honest with you. I don't know why. I just found it very moving.
I think it was. Do you know, to, I mean, they came out doing Vogue.
Vogue, yeah.
Madonna came up through the stage and the dancers did. And even the way they went into that performance was just incredible. The tease and the time. Sabrina looks amazing and her dancers are fantastic for Madonna to come out. But you're right, when they did Like a Prayer,
yeah,
it was so powerful. And their vocals together sounded like they should always have sung together. It was amazing. And then they're on their knees and then they strut around the stage. The only thing that made me sad was looking at the crowd. It's just everyone's on their phones.
I heard
and
this,
I guess
yeah.
why wouldn't you be? Because you're witnessing something incredible. Madonna, you know, who we haven't seen perform for a long time alongside another powerful woman, Sabrina. But I think there's that thing, if you think back, it's like, throw the phones away, just watch the moment, you know.
Live
but
in that
thank
moment.
Goodness people had their phones, because I might not have been able to see the performance otherwise. So I guess
it's a tricky one. Yeah.
A tricky one. But yeah, it was something else. And Madonna's saying it had been 20 years since she'd performed there in the dance tent in the same boots and the same corset. And
amazing.
Look how great she looks. Yeah. She does look amazing, doesn't she? Wow.
Yeah. And she moves brilliantly. And yeah, it was a moment. It was a proper moment. But there were many moments at Coachella, weren't there? There was Justin Bieber who brought out Billie Eilish. I mean, I've only seen a tiny clip of this and I was trying to make sense of it because they both looked completely over. Well, I don't know what the hell was going on.
Well, basically, so Billie Eilish, there's this amazing footage of Billie Eilish when she's really young. She's a teenager and she's talking about how emotional she got because she was obsessed with Justin Bieber and she was very sad that he didn't even know she existed. And there's this amazing, really young Billie talking about it quite emotionally. And then it's sort of over the years, the build up to her finally meeting him. And they met, I think, for the first time ever at Coachella quite a few years ago. And so it's been this beautiful relationship that you've seen kind of form over the years. And I think it was Hailey Bieber,
yeah,
his missus, who kind of pushed her out onto the stage as he was singing the song that Billie loved. And so it's quite an emotional moment. They have now this really incredible friendship. And I'm imagining they've helped each other through all sorts because, you know, he was a very young pop star. He's been through an incredible amount, as has she. So they have this really beautiful relationship. So it does, it just makes me really emotional to see.
So was it spontaneous?
I think it was spontaneous. I think she was there watching.
Oh.
And then it was Hayley who was like, go on, get up there.
Oh, that's
And you
sweet.
Could see she was like, oh no. It was really, really lovely.
She's kind of rolling around on the stage for ages, looking completely like overcome and overwhelmed.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't make sense of what was happening. Then he kind of runs over to her and pulls her over.
And pulls her up. But I think she still really feels all those feelings that she felt as a young lass. You know, he's her total hero and now they're friends. And there's a great interview with her when she is asked what she would tell her younger self. And she says, you're going to be hanging out, texting, messaging, being friends with Justin Bieber. So don't worry about it, kid, because in years to come, he's your friend. How cool is that? I have had such a good weekend in the garden, Joe. It's Saturday and Sunday. I've had to move a load of hydrangeas that were in terracotta pots and were not doing well at the end of last summer because it's just too hot for them. So I've had to decant them and move them into different pots. And it has been such a slog. But my goodness me, I'm so proud of myself. I am covered in gardener's bruises from like hoisting pots, my knees, my God. But I tell you what, my back is killing me today. You know, like only a gardener's back would when you've done some serious work. And I've finally got my cephalaria in the ground, and I've moved some thuggish verbena that were just taking over beds, and I've moved stuff around. And it's just at that point, the garden, where it's about to go crazy, and yeah, the roses are coming up and they're looking really healthy. I've bought loads of foxgloves to put in this year because it was sort of lacking. And I've done that whole thing. I always, whenever I listen to the fabulous Pollyanna Wilkinson, she's always talking about repetition in gardens.
The succession.
There were a couple of, there's some real good repeating. So my salvias, my bee blossoms, my geraniums, those are sort of plants that do so well. And there were a couple of borders where they weren't there. And I was like, right, I'm putting them in. I know they do well in the conditions in my garden. They look so beautiful. They bring me so much joy, and the bees love them. So I've been popping some more in. So I'm quite excited about it. Yeah. But I have tried some new things. My bleeding hearts are loving the shade.
Yeah.
In fact, top tips, Michael Griffiths, who I completely love and adore. He did a lovely socials video about plants for shade. Michael, thank you so much, because I bought quite a few of them, and all the plants you advised me to get are doing really, really good. And Michael has a brand new book out. It's called The Easy Garden, and he really does make gardening easy. Thank you, Michael, because sometimes you can be a bit overwhelmed with it. And he has done us a little video this week all about how to prune your lavender.
Hey, Joe and Zoe, how is your lavender looking? Is it spindly and twiggy like this?
Or is it lush and green like this one?
Lavender can last for 10 to 15 years and will become more woody as the plant matures, but how fast it becomes woody will increase if you don't prune it. But if you miss pruning it in late summer or autumn, you've got another chance to do it now.
You can prune as hard as you like, as long as you're not cutting into old wood. The old wood is the brown stuff down here, and the new growth is the bright green, so prune just above the old wood around about here. Pruning in spring will delay flowering slightly, but you'll get a better shaped bush that will last longer.
And who doesn't want a better shaped bush that lasts longer?
That's good. That's good.
Michael, thank you so much for the video. I'm a big fan, as you know, always run into him. There's a really good gang of some of the gardeners that I've got to know quite well now, and they're such good company. So Michael Griffiths, his brand new book, The Easy Garden, is out now, month by month advice to improve your outside space. You can see all my little bookmarks, look, where I've looked up plants for shade.
Oh, I might have to get this,
and
yeah.
And he does you these really lovely little planting plans as well. So if you're starting out and you've got borders that you want to make a bit more exciting, he does really good guides in here on how to lay them out, for example. And you've got everything in here. It's a great book, Michael. Really proud of you. So congratulations on that. Crate digging time now. Joe, how was Kellogg's Club Breakfast weekend?
It popped off. That's exactly what it did. It popped off. It was so fun. Honestly, the best thing about it, was meeting the diggers. There were, like, we did a shout out and said, how many diggers are here? The whole room. They were diggers. So to see people, to meet people who listen and watch what we do with Dig It was just the nicest thing in the world. Chatting to them afterwards as well, doing photographs. There was one group that I met who afterwards were like, yeah, and bearing in mind, this is like 9-10 o'clock in the morning. They were like, yeah, we're off for a bottomless brunch now for the rest of the day.
Yes,
respect
ladies.
To you. I could not do that. Respect to you. I hope you found your place, and I hope you had a great day. But there were people from all over the place, and it was really good. I mean, you know, I kicked off. I think I played Candy Satin at the very beginning of the set, and from that moment on, there was just arms in the air right through until I played Mr. Brightside at the very end. It was hot. It was sweaty. It was energetic, and it was just a room full of vibrant, cool music lovers dancing to music first thing in the morning. It couldn't have been better. Couldn't have been more fun.
Well, thanks to Kellogg's for coming up with the club breakfast idea. I think this is brilliant. Joe, I think you need to take this on the road as well, because I did loads of interviews last week talking about it and how you were playing. And then there were loads of people around the country saying, actually, can you bring that this way, please? So watch this space. And I'm so glad that everybody had a brilliant time. Little breakfast rave, get your body moving, get your endorphins going first thing in the day. And you could even tackle a bottomless brunch afterwards, although I probably wouldn't be allowed.
Just the idea that people still want to go out and they want to dance. I mean, I see this with the 90s anthem shows. And yeah. if it can be earlier and if it can fit into their day, then that's great. They've got a space to go to where they can dance and sing to their favourite songs. We've got a voice note from Sally, who was actually at the Kellogg's Club breakfast that I did on Saturday.
Hi, Zoe. Hi, Joe. Firstly, thank you so much for the podcast, for sharing information about your life and being so open and so honest. It's so relatable and it really, really means a lot. But the main reason for this message now, because I've been listening to you from the start, is to say what an amazing time I had on Saturday morning at the Kellogg's Club breakfast with Joe's set. Busy life here. I work full time and I've got two teenagers and one of them is an autistic teen. So life can be quite challenging sometimes. And I've been yearning for some nostalgia. I've been yearning to dance and be free. And honestly, Saturday morning hit really hard and it was the best time. I literally walked in the room and I did not stop dancing for 2 hours. And Joe, when you came on and did your set, yes. you played all the tunes that I really needed to hear. It absolutely filled my cup. And I came out and we met you, my friend and I, and that was just the icing on the top of the cake and you were just absolutely wonderful and so lovely. So thank you for that. And just to add really that it was so amazing. Actually, I had a little cry because it was just the release that I needed. So we are looking forward to the next one and keep doing what you guys are doing. It means so much. Thank you.
Oh, Sally, honestly, I've literally got goosebumps running through my whole body listening to you saying that. I'm so happy that it made you happy. That's the bottom line, isn't it? I'm really, really pleased. Thank you so much for saying such lovely things as well. And all the people I met, Zoe, they love what we're talking about. And that means the world. We had no idea when we started this. We didn't really know what we were doing, what it was going to become. No. And it is just us talking about things that go on in our lives. So the fact that it is relatable to so many people out there is just wonderful. We had this party at the weekend. I just wanted to add, and lots of my friends were there. And I honestly, the conversation, there was so much talk about hormones and menopause and struggling, losing friends, like all the stuff that we talk about on this podcast. In reality, it goes on in all our lives all the time. And that's what we were chatting at, you know, 2 a.m. at my party. It's what we talk about on the podcast.
On the subject of crying and being moved there by an experienced Sally, I must say that my crate digging choice this week is Super Bloom from the diva Jessie Ware. This album is so fantastic. It's sort of like gone to the next level for Jessie now. These incredible tunes she makes that make you want to just throw your arms in the air and be an incredible diva. These disco sounds, these wonderful beats, the string arrangements. I mean, it's kind of like sometimes the music Jessie's making is like other era, like, you know, and call to mind like Minnie Riperton and some of the great Studio 54 moments and the dances and the disco. She is such a diva and this album is phenomenal. There are so many great tracks on there. Her great friend Coleman Domingo features, you hear his voice at the beginning of one of the incredible tracks. He's quite saucy. It's I've had it on all weekend and honestly I've just been strutting around
in a caftan.
There is a song in a caftan with a huge thing on my head. That's how I imagine I look. I don't look as glamorous as Jessie at all. I love it. She's worked with some fantastic people on this album. I know James Ford's in there somewhere and Jack Pignatte is a really great mate of hers. They go way back. She's got the vocals on it and the choral vocals and there's lovely little musical interludes. It's such a brilliant listen from beginning to end. I must point out a song on the album that broke my heart into a million pieces because I love it so much. It's called 16 Summers. And this is the idea that you get 16 summers with your kids when you think about it. And Jessie has 3 beautiful kids. I've been lucky enough to meet them and they are gorgeous. She has an amazing family. And you hear one of them at the beginning of the track and it's just like, it's almost like a torch song. It's like a Babs Streisand moment. It is such a beautiful song. It is so moving about, you know, let me spend those summers with you, because the time is going so fast. You're all growing so quickly. And I was listening to this, looking at Woody out in the garden with his mates and thinking about my Nell. And I had tears streaming down my face, and I actually listened to it again in bed last night. And so you've got this fantastic disco album, which is phenomenal. But in the middle of it, you've got this beautiful song, and it will speak to, you know, all parents out there whose kids seem to just grow up so fast, and off they are out into the world. But the great thing is, parents, as we well know, kids will always happily come on holiday with you later, because it's tough for them.
Because you're paying
out
for
there.
Them. Yeah.
So you might actually get more than 16 summers if you're lucky.
Yeah.
But Jessie, congratulations on the new album. It's called Super Bloom, and we love it, and we love her. We really do.
Talking about the kids and only having 16 summers, and I've been talking about how India's moved out and how that's great. Yeah. And I'm really lucky she hasn't moved too far away, but she's still moved out, and it's a bit weird to get your head around. And she was here yesterday, and she just went, yeah, I'm going to stay over tonight. And I was like, your heart just goes, I went, really? She went, yeah, I just really want to stay here after the party. I'm going to stay over. So we slept together last night in bed, and we both lay there watching Married at First Sight Australia, just going, this is lovely, isn't it? This is so lovely. And her, you know, boyfriend Alex was absolutely fine. He'd got stuff to do in the house, and it was just such a, it was really lovely. She went, oh, it's so nice that we're so close to each other that I can still come and do this. I was like, oh my God, you have just made my life. it was really nice. So they do come back. You know, they do. They love hanging out
with
us.
They do come back. And it's amazing when they sleep next to you. I have this thing where I just remember being in the hospital with Nell the first night she was born, and everyone's gone home, you know, and you're just left there in the hospital with this tiny
baby. I love that moment.
And, you know, just looking at her face, and the same with Woo, those moments, which are so, I think about them so much now as I look at how fast they've grown and the incredible young adults they are. But they, to me, will always be that tiny little baby, that little gorgeous creature. And you've got no idea who they're going to become and what they're going to be like as people when they're that size. And when they sleep now as, you know, young adults, I still look at them with always watching my sleeping kids. It sounds creepy if they wake up and start screaming. But you look at them and you can still see in their faces, those little baby faces. And it's just such a, oh, love it.
I take photos of them sometimes. I am creepy. But you know, when they're lying there and their arms above, you know how kids and babies, they have their arms above their
heads. Happy baby.
And they still do that now. And so on occasion, Coco's been there or India, and I sneak in. I'm just like, I'm just going to have this for myself. And I'm never going to show anybody else. They don't have to know. But I can go back and I can look at that photograph and go, there, they're still there. She's still there. He's still there. And it's just beautiful. I know exactly what you mean. On the subject of newborn things.
Is it time?
I have someone new to bring to the Digit family.
I might cry now.
Okay. I'm going to have to go and get him. But if you just bear with me 2 seconds, and I don't know how this is going to go. And I'm going to, wait there.
I'm waiting.
This is the big reveal.
Oh my goodness me.
Diggers,
hello,
I would like to introduce you to
fluffball.
This is Goose, who is our new
Goose
puppy, who is looking at the microphone like he wants to eat it. And
so
he's an Australian Labradoodle. He's 8 weeks old, and he's absolutely the most gorgeous thing in the world.
He is absolutely delicious. He's really cuddled into Joe right now.
Yeah.
His big paws. I love that whole puppy paws thing when their paws are too big for their entire body. He looks so dope. He looks like he's just had a lovely sleep. He's like a teddy bear. He's white. He's got brown ears. He's got these lovely, lovely soft feet. He's sort of having a little sniff
my
of
wrist.
Joe right now. Eating her wrists. He looks like a real baby.
We love him so. It does. I feel like I've got a baby. I really do. A newborn. Everybody is just melting.
He's that size.
He's so
lovely.
He
is a complete heart melter. Diggers, now would be a brilliant time to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can see Goose in real life. How did you come to the name? I'm talking in a quiet voice because
I know.
Because he looks so chilled right now.
I think he might fall asleep.
He's looking at you adoringly. Look at that. Look at that. You see, that is like a baby looking at his mother adoringly.
We called him Goose because, of course, we love the band Geese. So with all the animals, we kind of, we like to call them after something that the family are obsessed with. So with Django, his full name is Django Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino, after the Arctic Monkeys album. And when we were trying to think of this puppy's name, we all love Geese, like as a family, every single band member. Yeah. And every single member loves the band Geese. And we couldn't call him Geese because that's plural. So we thought we'd call him Goose instead. And everyone just went, yes, that's a great name. And he kind of suits it. So I can sort of feel how soft and fluffy he is just through the vision of him. He's now like having a little...
Now he's getting a little bit...
He wants to go. He's like, oh, where am I going? Ooh, where is this place? So we picked him up and he's been as good as gold. Obviously, it's quite interesting introducing him to Django because Django's been existing on his own. I think he's going to get down and go now. But we got him from this amazing breeder called Didgeridoodles. I just want to mention them because we've been involved with him ever since he was born. So we knew the mother when she was had the pups inside her and we didn't know whether we'd have a pup there, how many she was going to have. Okay, I'm putting him down.
Oh, he's so tiny. He's so tiny and fluffy. He's just like a bear.
So I hunted down because I didn't know what kind of dog we wanted, but we discovered in the end Australian Labradoodles looked like they might be the dog for us. Found this breeder and she was just a real force. And she had this dog and she said, well, he might have an extra pup. I'm not sure whether she's going to have an extra pup or not. If she does, he's yours. The dog then went on to have 11 puppies. So we did have a puppy from her. But we've been involved. We saw him being born. We've seen him day one. We've followed his progress right through until 8 weeks old. And she decided that he was the right dog that would suit our family. And it's been an amazing experience. If anybody wants to have a lovely puppy dog experience, she's a great person to go to because we've been involved for the whole way through, right from day one until today. And there's a whole bunch of us. There's a WhatsApp group. We're sending photographs to each other. We're swapping advice. It's been amazing, an amazing experience. I've loved every single second of it. And it's going to carry on. In a year's time, there's a puppy party. So all the puppies get a reunion.
Yes.
He's biting my feet now.
Brilliant.
He's biting my toes.
Can he go outside now?
No, he can go in our garden. So he can go in the garden. Okay. He can run around. The first night, he obviously cried quite a lot for the first night. So we're trying to work out how you leave them and keep them happy. Oh, he's just biting my toes. But anyway, he's just made us really happy. You know, I feel like the family is now complete because we lost Brody and that was devastating. We lost Simba and now we've got Nemo and we've got Goose. And it's like I've got four kids, I've got four animals and it's like, we're complete now and let's keep it this way for a really long time.
Oh,
please God.
And I feel like we've all gone on this journey with you to him arriving. So Goose, welcome to the Diggit family. Please, we want as many pictures and videos of Goose as possible just to get us, just to survive the week, Joe.
Yes, lots of puppy pics coming your way. Now, I promise I will do that. We've taken so many already.
Oh, hooray. We're all happy now.
He's currently chewing through the cables and I think I might have to take him out so he can pee elsewhere and not on the carpet. So see you on Monday.
See you Monday, Joe. Love you.
Right.
Lovely to meet you, Goose. Dig It is a Persephonica production.